time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
I want to ask you a very basic question today, one that sounds so simple. Initially, you'll say, well, of course, we have the answer. One that's actually a little bit more complex, and one that, depending on your theological system, you may have a different response to than someone else. The question is, does prayer actually change things? Or put another way, does God change what's going to happen based on our praying? Or asked from even another angle, can our prayers influence God to the point that he changes his mind or changes his course of action? What do you think? Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire broadcast today. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, you can email me at Dr. Brown, drbrown, at askdrbrown.org. Does prayer actually change things? You know, the Word of God is constantly exhorting us and encouraging us to pray. And through the Scriptures, many answers to prayer are recorded. For example, in Acts, the 12th chapter, when Peter's taken prisoner, and the plan is for him to be killed, just as Jacob had been killed, the people of God are praying unceasingly, and he's released. He's miraculously released. God sends an angel who frees him from his bonds, brings him out of the prison, and he realizes, whoa, hang on, this really happened. He's shocked, he's amazed when he gets to the house where they're praying. The people are shocked to see that Peter is out. So if they didn't pray, would Peter have died? If they didn't pray, would Peter have still been in prison and eventually beheaded? But didn't God choose Peter for a specific role among the early believers? Didn't he play a key leadership role? No, he wasn't the first pope. Such thinking is reading back later concepts that didn't exist in that day. But he was certainly given a key leadership role among the believers. Was it God's plan that he survive? If it was God's plan that he survive, did God move on the people to pray so that God would do what he was already going to do? If they didn't pray, would things have turned out differently? Would God have just delivered him without their praying? I don't want to confuse issues. I want to clarify issues. But let's understand what happens when we pray. Again, over and over in the Word, we're exhorted to pray, encouraged to pray. How many of you listening to me know the words of Jesus? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. What man is there of you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. If he asks for fish, we'll give him a serpent, a snake. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? He encourages us to pray. Paul writes to the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. Jesus teaches in Luke 18 that believers should pray and not faint, meaning that the temptation to lose heart, to cave in, to be discouraged would be there, but to persevere and the answers would come. The Bible talks about people who cried out to God day and night. The Psalms record prayers, tears, and then God answers, God delivers. Would he have answered and delivered without the praying? Would he have come through anyway? Are there things that don't happen because we don't pray and things that do happen because we do pray? If you are a strict Calvinist, believing strongly in predestination, I don't say it in a critical way. I say that to interact with you. Do you believe that your praying is simply doing what God appointed should be done, and that even if you don't pray, things will still happen, but prayer primarily aligns you with God? Or does prayer have more power than that? If you happen to be among those that hold to what's called open theism, which I quite definitely do not, but an open theist believes that certain things are determined and foreknown, but human choices are not yet predetermined and foreknown, and therefore, our prayers can really influence what's coming. And in fact, God himself doesn't know some of what's coming. So our prayers play that critical role. How much influence does prayer have? before we try to answer those questions, let me give you some great quotes on prayer from men and women of God. This is one that my wife Nancy sent me some time back by Charles Finney. In fact, it's a quote that continually convicts me and calls me deeper. Spend much time every day and night in prayer and direct communion with God. This will make you a power for salvation. No amount of learning and study can compensate for the loss of this communion. If you fail to maintain communion with God, you are weak as another man, in quotes, which is what happened to Samson. A.J. Gordon said, to arouse one man or woman to the tremendous power of prayer for others is worth more than the combined activity of a score of average Christians. Bosworth said, if we undertake to pray for a thing, then we ought either to follow it up until we get the answer or withdraw the petition. Another man of God from several generations back, E.M. Bounds, famous for his writings on prayer, said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men of mighty prayer. Well, of course, he wrote that in the days before we were wireless, you know. He wrote that in the days before we had iPhones and iPads and Blackberries. He wrote that in the days before we had all of our technology. So certainly today he would change that and say what the church needs today is the latest in technology, the latest in sound equipment for the sanctuary, the latest in projection equipment, the latest in being wireless digital and fully networked. No, he'd say even more strongly, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations and more novel methods, but men and women whom the Holy Spirit can use, men and women of prayer, men and women of mighty prayer. Does prayer actually change things? How much of a difference does prayer make? If we are praying for God's will in the upcoming elections, if we really come together as God's people and humble ourselves and repent of our sins, and turn to the Lord and say, God, move in these elections. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. We don't put our trust in a political party. We put our trust in you. If we truly look to the Lord and cry out to him, will that change the outcome of the elections? Another question, if we don't pray, will the elections go in a different direction? By the way, I'm not presuming all the candidates that should be in or out. I'm simply asking larger questions, so don't get mad at me politically. If I say something political, then get mad at me politically, but don't read into what I'm saying now, okay? So let me go a little further with you, all right? So you just picked up your kids from school and you're scratching your heads like, he's confusing me. All right, stay with me. Out of the confusion will come clarity. If we come together and really pray and seek God, we would think that God would answer as we humble ourselves and look to him, and that he would respond, say, as we're looking at the elections, and he would bring into office candidates of his choosing for his purposes, whatever those purposes might be. And if we don't pray, the converse is you get what you pray for. The converse is you don't get what you don't pray for. So if we don't pray, things will go in another direction. So does that mean that God may have desired one candidate to be in office? But, excuse me, because his people didn't pray, because his people didn't seek his face, because his people didn't look to him, that candidate will not get in office? In which case, prayer absolutely changes things. Or is the will of God going to be done either way? And if we pray, we participate in it, but if we don't pray, we don't participate in it. Is prayer mainly about changing us? Or does prayer actually change what God's going to do? What about with the children of Israel, with Moses? God is ready to destroy Israel, and he says he would destroy them. That's how it's written in Psalm 106. He said he would destroy them. He determined they were guilty, he would destroy them, if not Moses. Had not Moses stood the gap, climbed up into the breach, confronted the wrath of God with a plea for mercy, appealed to his promises, appealed to his nature, appealed to his glory, appealed to his reputation. And God did not destroy Israel. Let me say something really simply, because we're going to focus on prayer, and I've got some things I'd like to get your feedback on. I don't think at that moment Moses had any question in his mind but that God was ready to destroy. Do you follow me? I don't believe for a split second Moses thought this was just some kind of ploy and God's playing a game to see how I'll react. And he's lifting up his hand to crush Israel just to see if I'll respond. No, I believe God was ready to destroy because it was the righteous thing to do. And Moses appealed to him not to. Now, did God foreknow that? Did God factor all that in? Oh, I'm open to that discussion. But you better believe that Moses knew that his prayers right then made a difference between life and death. I want to tell you that you're praying, you're crying out to God, can make a difference between life and death. We'll be back. Stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Talking about prayer, focusing on prayer. The more we look at things in society, the more we look at the needs around the world, the more we see needs within our own lives and community, the more we realize our only hope is God. We need to turn to God. We need to rely on God. So I want to ask you a few questions about prayer today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'm going to give out a special number to all of our friends listening in Dallas, Fort Worth area, KVCE 1160 AM. I'm going to give you a special number to call in a moment for some free messages we want to send out to you. But I, during the break, just got this email from Mass Resistance. This is pro-family activism in Massachusetts. Two headlines. Headline one, rainbow flag raised over Boston City Hall by politicians, city officials, and homosexual activists to celebrate Gay Pride Week. And I'm looking at this picture. There's American flag, another flag, and then next to that, the rainbow flag celebrating homosexuality and related sexual orientation. So the flag flying high in Boston in celebration of Gay Pride Week. Another note, politicians, corporations to honor cross-dresser who works with kids as Grand Marshal of Gay Pride Parade. You see headlines like this, you realize we've got to cry out to God for our nation. We've got to examine our own lives, and we've got to cry out to God for our nation. I wonder, do we really believe that prayer can change things? Do we really believe that when we pray, that God will actually hear us and something will actually happen? I don't mean just praying one prayer is suddenly going to reform America. I understand there are many, many, many issues. And I understand that we can't just pray according to our will. We have to pray according to God's will. So do we actually believe, do you actually believe if you pray, if you seek God, if you pray according to his word in faith, that answers will definitely come? If you persevere, if you press in, if you hold on, do you believe that answers will actually come? If so, what stops you from praying more? If so, what stops you from really crying out to God? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Let me just do this. When we go on in new areas, sometimes over the first few weeks, we'll do this a little bit more. To all of our friends listening in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area on 1160 AM, I want to give you a special number to call. You don't have to answer a question. You don't have to be theological. We want to bless you with a special gift from our ministry. We often do this in new areas. Three of the most important messages I've ever preached in my life on one CD. You can listen to them on your MP3 player on your computer. Call to Die, Holy Desperation, Fire. Messages that will really impact your life. But it's absolutely free. If you're listening on 1160 AM, I want to give you a number to call. Just during this segment, are you ready? It's 888-378-FIRE. That's 888-378-3473. Just call. All you have to do is give us your name and address. If the phone lines are jammed, you can just leave us a voicemail with your name and address, and we'll send this out to you free, postpaid, just to bless you and to further stir your heart and to introduce you to who we are and what we are doing. 888-378-FIRE. Call now if you're listening on 1160 AM in Dallas, Fort Worth. Have you had, personally, answers to prayer that were so clearly from God that you couldn't deny it? It's one thing if I have a cold. And I pray daily for healing from that cold. And after a week, I feel better. Well, chances are I was going to feel better anyway. It's one thing if I'm out of work and I pray over a period of months and look for jobs and finally get a job to say, well, praise God, he gave me the job. Well, maybe he did, but you probably would have gotten the job anyway within that time frame. I mean, it just happened so naturally over a period of months, you really can't tell that it was God. Have you had answers to prayer that were so definite, so clear, that the only possible thing you could say was, this is God. This is the hand of God. There is no question God has answered me. I remember one time some friends came to me. They had a concern about a particular situation in our congregation. And they said, you got to do something about this. You got to do something about this. There was a couple, and they felt I needed to speak to them. I said, you're the only one they'll really listen to. And I said, well, I don't really have a burden about that. I mean, I'll pray, but I don't really have a burden to do anything. I don't really think it's that big an issue. Well, a couple of people then went to pray, and I didn't know they were doing this. They began to cry out to God. Next thing you knew, man, I was gripped. God spoke to me. I was so charged with this thing and spoke to this couple and got the thing straightened out. And they heard me, and they turned from their error, and they thanked me. I found out then that these folks specifically agreed to pray, God, speak to Mike. It was just one of those things. It's not the most miraculous thing that ever happened. But I love when that happens, when you pray and something happens in accordance to that, to someone else in accordance with your praying, and you step back and compare notes and say, whoa, this really was the Lord. And we've seen that. It could be the healing of a sick person. It could be miraculous provision. It could be miraculous direction. It could be answer in the midst of a crisis. It could be God rescuing you from a life and death situation. If you've really seen God move and you've really seen him answer prayer, what stops you, what stops me from praying more? What stops us from really going after God? What stops us from really crying out to God? 866-34-TRUTH. I want to read you a few more statements about prayer. Listen to what Jonathan Edwards said. All of you who are in church situations struggling and not happy with pastors and leaders who are far from perfect, listen to what Jonathan Edwards said. If some Christians who have been complaining of their ministers had said and acted less before men and had applied themselves with all their might to cry to God for their ministers, had, as it were, risen and stormed heaven with their humble, fervent, and incessant prayers for them, they would have been much more in the way of success. Oh, yeah, it would have been less gratifying to the flesh. Much more gratifying to the flesh to sit around, yeah, that's not God, like this, and this, and our church, not God, that's not bad, and just gossip and sit around and share what we're each discerning. We have to do it spiritually. We'll gossip one to another in the name of discernment. What if instead we went to pray? What if instead we went to pray blessing? You know what I do? I do it as much as I can. If I'm in a situation where I'm really upset with someone in the Lord, where it really seems that a brother or sister is really doing wrong things, harmful things, and things perhaps directly coming against me, I want to make sure I have no wrong attitude towards them and I haven't done anything against them. But I will pray good prayers for them. I will pray prayers that God will make them into everything he wants them to be. I don't mean, God, you know he's such a jerk, help him to be a nice person. No, I'll pray, God, cause my brother to shine for you. Use him so much. May your grace, your fullness, your love, your power be upon him. May he know you like he's never known you. Prayers that if he heard me praying them for him, he'd say amen to every one of those prayers. And as I pray, it changes my heart towards that person. And then I can really believe for God to bless that person as opposed to somehow want to see them hurt or come down. Still, I'm wondering if we're convinced that our prayers really make a difference, really change things. What stops us from praying? Whole lot more to come. Again, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, give us a call for a free CD filled with some of the best messages I've ever preached. Call us at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473 for your free CD. Stay with us. What stops you from praying? What stops you from praying? Now, maybe you are Mr. and Mrs. Prayer Warrior. and putting us all to shame and super consistent and locked in with God and seeing answers every day. But a lot of the rest of the body is not in that place. We know that God answers prayer. I'm just looking at some of the responses on Facebook to my question, and sure he does. You bet he does. Absolutely. And Scripture's filled with example after example after example of people crying out, praying, and God answering, and God changing things. It says in the Word that God hears the cries of the righteous. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. So many testimonies of deliverance from danger, deliverance from death, in answer to prayer throughout the Scripture. So many calls for us to pray. Paul calling for prayer that doors would be opened for him to bring the gospel on and on and on and on. And yet often prayer comes last on our list. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What are some of the main reasons that we don't pray? What are some of the main reasons that we don't really take hold of God's promises and cry out to him? If prayer is so effectual, what gets in the way? I want to first address something I spoke about at the beginning of the show. The question of does prayer actually change things, or can it change God's mind? I think it's best for us to be as simple and childlike as we can. In other words, to take the promises about prayer seriously, without a philosophical analysis. I used to wonder, when I was a new believer, because when I first got saved, I made a vow I'd never put a needle in my arm again, and a couple days after that, I'd never get high again. And then God would show me other things in my life that needed to change. In those early days, I'd say, okay, God, I'll never do this again. And then I ran into some things. I said, I'll never do it again, not like shooting heroin or drinking or any drugs or stuff like that, but just something perhaps more minor, less clearly destructive. And I'd say, I'll never do this again. And then it would happen. I'd think, well, okay, what if I say, God, if you'll really help me in this particular area, then I'll never do thus and such again. I began to wonder, well, what if he knows? Of course he knows what's going to happen. So he knows whether I'm going to do this or not. So maybe he won't answer my prayer because he knows, okay, God, if you'll help me with this, I'll never do this again. He knows that if he helps me with this, that I still will do that. Then I thought, no, he'll answer my prayer in faithfulness to that prayer. If it's according to his will, he'll answer me faithfully, and then I'll reap the consequences of if I follow through on my part or not. Otherwise, I could always accuse him. I could always say, well, you didn't answer. If you had answered, I would have done thus and such. No, God will never be the one that can be accused of any wrongdoing. So I think it's really important, rather than philosophically trying to analyze, rather than trying to dig up, well, if I pray, God said this, well, how will this influence God? To simply say that he welcomes our prayer, that he calls for our prayer, that our prayers will influence the direction that things go, whether that fits into God's preordained plan, whether there are changes that can come in the future based on our prayers, although always foreknown by God. I don't think we need to figure that out as much as to say prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes a difference. When many years ago, when our daughters were teenagers, our older daughter turned 33 today. I wish her a happy birthday, except she's working right now and not listening to the show, which is okay. If people have to work, that's okay. Older daughter turned 33, our younger daughter's 31. But when they were teenagers, Nancy and I, the two of us, went to see Fiddler on the Roof. One time there was a local production, local play production putting it on, and you had a package, go see the show, then have dinner. So really enjoying Fiddler on the Roof. And you know the story. The daughters, each one, there's a guy, and it's no way. And then the father finally gives in, and then last, no, he's not going to give in. And suddenly this daydream comes through my mind. I just picture one of our daughters coming home with this absolutely raunchy, the worst nightmare kind of guy you could imagine, walking in the door and saying, Dad, I've met so-and-so, and we want to have a serious relationship and get married. And the thought hit me, you get what you pray for, you don't get what you don't pray for. You neglect praying for your family. You neglect praying for their spouses. You neglect praying for God to do certain things. Then you're going to have a lot more trouble. You're going to going to have a lot more trouble. You neglect praying for the blessing of God, the smile of God on your kid, you're going to have a lot more trouble, friends. And if you flip that around, if you pray faithfully, you know, you won't be trouble-free, but you will see the hand of God. Prayer does make a difference. And I'm not going to try to theologically, philosophically analyze all of how that works out. I will tell you this, though. It doesn't just change you when you pray. It doesn't just change you. And it doesn't just bring you into fellowship with God, which is mutually enjoyable. The Father enjoys it and we enjoy it. But our prayers actually help determine the things that God will do. Look, how many times does God grieve in the Bible that things happen certain ways? What about the end of Ezekiel 22 when he grieves because he couldn't find anyone? He was looking for an intercessor, someone that would cry out to him so he wouldn't have to pour out his wrath. In other words, he has certain principles, and if he says A and people respond with B, that'll bring result C. And if he says A and people don't respond with B, that could bring result D. He's operating according to his principles. It's just like a parent with kids. You say a certain thing. If the kids respond a certain way, you then go in one direction. If they respond a different way, you go in a different direction. There are times God grieved. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because it didn't recognize the time of his visitation. I'm sure there are times God grieves because people don't pray. People don't cry out. Just the thing that's so troublesome is to think of how much more could happen if we would pray. Is to think of how many more lives would be transformed if we prayed. To think of how many people would be impacted. How many more people could be saved. So saved, you mean people be saved or not based on we pray? Well, you wrestle with that one. Will people be saved or not based on whether we witness? Something to think about. Without question, our country would be in a massively different place if the American church was a praying church. Oh, there are pockets that really pray, pockets that really cry out, pockets that really go after God. But for the most part, we are not a praying church. For the most part, we here, you tell me if this works in your life. On average, a given day, do you spend more time in prayer and quality communion with God than you spend watching TV, playing video games, watching movies, and in mindlessly surfing the internet? If you spend more time doing those things, which are leisure activities, it's not work requirement, these are leisure activities that you can do or not do. If you spend more time doing those things than meeting with God in prayer, something's profoundly wrong. Certainly the Spirit of God is not saying, I would rather that you surf the net or played some mindless video game or watch TV for 2 hours than met with me. There's an invitation to pray. There's a call to pray. There's an encouragement to pray. If we will make a determination, I'm going to go after God, because the greatest battle that we'll have is the battle to pray. And there'll be more opposition with us coming into God's presence to pray than anything else. We come back. I want to say a few other things about people with strange spiritual practices, how we evaluate them before I continue on the subject of prayer. And one last time, if you're listening in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area on 1160 AM, call us at 888-378-FIRE, 888-378-3473. Leave us your name and address. We'll send you a free CD, some of the best messages I've ever preached, absolutely free for you. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed to be with you. I was praying before the show about what to focus on today out of the many subjects that were on my mind, and was just brought back to some fundamentals about prayer. So we've been talking about that, working through some issues, encouraging each of us to press in deeper. And before the show's out, I'm going to talk about some of the hindrances to prayer. A couple years back, I did a show on that and some fascinating observations from our callers in terms of what hinders our praying. I'm just going to grab one call, and then I want to give you a few more reflections as I've been looking at some of the interaction online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I've been looking at some of the interaction there, some of the comments about the, quote, drunk in the spirit show, toking the ghost, things that we discussed. And I'm going to give you some more reflections on that in a moment. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me grab one call first. Dave in Fort Mill, thanks for calling today.
Dr. Brown, thank you. Appreciate your show. I just discovered it recently and really enjoy it. Try to listen to it during my work day, but A couple of quick things. When I first got saved 21 years ago, I remember I didn't come from a Christian background. And I remember spending 5 minutes of prayer at first seemed like an eternity.
Yeah, talk about it.
Within 3 months, I was spending about 3 hours a day in prayer.
Wonderful.
And so it's something, in some ways, it's kind of like exercise. It's kind of something that's learned. I think it comes also with having the Lord as your delight. But one of the things that's challenged me, because I've seen God move on my behalf in regard to prayer instantly, and then stuff that seems like the bowl is taken a while to be filled. I've seen God move in other people's lives through my intercession and prayers. But one thing I have not seen, I've not seen my family come to Christ in 21 years. And that baffles me to know. And there are times where I take it as if I have been a poor witness at times, if for some reason it's my fault. And it's, I got to tell you, it's painful. It's painful to watch this. 21 years of intercession.
Yeah, Dave, you know, I've been saved now 38 years, and my mom is still not saved. My sister, so those would be the two living relatives closest to me, still not saved. And I was with my mom, who's 88 now, a few months back, just had some wonderful quality time together with her, and she said she's just open to know God. She talks to him and just doesn't seem to get an answer. So I've been going with pain to the Lord as well. You know, people's wills are involved, and how exactly he works things out in their lives, it's, I think, a complex thing. But take heart with this, Dave. George Mueller, halfway through his ministry, had recorded 5,000 instantaneous answers to prayer. 5,000. And he had been praying for some people every day for 50 years. And still hadn't seen them saved. So he was asked, does that discourage you? You've seen so many immediate answers to prayer. And, excuse me, here you've been praying for people for 50 years without seeing an answer. And does that discourage you? He said, oh, no, no. He said, if God would answer me instantly, how much more will he answer a prayer I've prayed for 50 years?
Wow.
So take hold of the promise that the greater the blessing, the greater the purpose is, sometimes the longer the praying. And let's just believe that God will do some shocking and amazing things in the days to come.
Well, just in Psalm 126, the Lord gave me that scripture. I was a year old in Christ, and I was interceding for my family, and I was weeping. And he gave me that scripture where those who go forth sowing seeds and tears, you know, shall come forth at some point reaping a great harvest. And so I really held on to that.
Yeah, and in fact, I'll say this last thing about this, Dave. When I'm moved to pray with a real agony of heart and with many tears, that's when I have the greatest confidence that God will answer. Regardless of what I see, I know somehow I've touched his heart and he will move. Hey, let's believe for one another's families to come in the coming days. Amen?
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and thanks for being a listener, Dave. I appreciate it. Okay, and that's poignant and a reminder that there is pain, there is a burden, and we do... We do lean on a great big God who carries our burdens with us and for us. Take refuge in him, friends. Don't run from him. Run to him. Just a brief reflection. Someone posted a question about people engaging in some really weird practices that to me seem, I only say seem because I haven't seen them firsthand, absolutely off the wall and wrong and counterproductive and contrary to the ways of the Spirit. I said, yeah, but they seem to do this and this and seem to have results. Hey, here's what you do. Look at the overall doctrines that are preached by the people with the weird spiritual practices. Look at their overall understanding of the church, the body, their views of authority. And then look for some long-term fruit. Don't just get excited that you heard a convert story somewhere. Let's watch over a period of years. Let's see the fruit that remains. If the fruit that remains is people deeply devoted to the Word, to holiness, to purity, to loving Jesus, to winning the lost, and they're walking in consistency with Him, then you have to say, well, looks like the Lord is doing the work. But anything short of that, excuse me, don't be impressed by. Let the thing sort itself out over a period of time. We'll be back. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. Tomorrow, you've got questions, we've got answers. I'll be answering some of the most interesting email questions that have been sent in recent weeks. And a lot of stuff I would never think of talking about on the broadcast, but comes in an email. I think that is really interesting. That's worth talking about. And if you're online at the AskDrBrown.org website, just click on Contact Us. You can send your questions in. We have someone on our staff that is specifically devoted to answering Jewish-related emails. We get, I don't know how many every week, Jewish-related questions, some from Jewish seekers, Christians witnessing to Jewish people, interacting Christians with Jewish-related questions. So we're here to do our best to answer your questions, and some of them we will answer on the air. So contact us through the AskDrBrown.org website. If I asked you, call in with answers to prayer, call in with specific things that God has done, the phone lines would just light up and stay lit up for days. And in fact, as today is the 33rd birthday of our older daughter, Jennifer, living with her husband in Maryland, husband and kids, when she was born, she was born in supernatural answer to prayer. I mean, one of the most dramatic answers to prayer I've ever experienced. Now, it was followed by a long, painful labor of well over 20 hours. That didn't stop, and all my prayers didn't stop that. But when she was born, it's a long story, but it was one of the most amazing answers to prayer I've had. And I remember the night I went to God and just said, God, you said this in your word. I was going through the promises in Luke 11, and you knew that this day I would believe your word, and if you didn't answer, then you wouldn't be telling the truth. And faith came alive, and then next thing, the labor began, and there was a reason it had to happen at that time. Wonderful answer to prayer. We've seen so many answers, all of us. Why don't we really give ourselves to prayer more? Well, one reason is just the weakness of the flesh. Prayer, I believe, is the most challenging spiritual discipline, along with fasting, of course, which then ups it. But that it's easier to do so many other things. Come on, it's easier for you and I to sit down and have a two-hour conversation than for you and I to get down on our knees and have a focused 10-minute conversation with the Lord. Sometimes it's just the weakness of the flesh. Sometimes it's satanic opposition. Don't fool yourself, friend. The devil hates you and I praying. Says, he actually wants. There are demonic spirits who try to stop us from praying. One of the Puritans said that when we go to pray, the devil knows that we're going to fetch strength against him. So he opposes us with all of his might. It's like in one of those old movies, somebody's got a gun and somebody kicks it out of his hand and they're wrestling down the steps because whoever can get that gun is going to win the fight. And the devil knows if we can get to pray and consistently pray, we're going to win in that sense. So there's demonic opposition. There's also discouragement. I don't see my prayers answered. Nothing seems to work. I don't seem to get results. Or as our last caller, grieving with a heart of faith. You know, I prayed and prayed for 21 years for my family and haven't seen them saved. That's painful. Sometimes you can get discouraged and say, what's the use of praying? Sometimes not knowing what to pray. Which direction do I go? How do I pray? Or just feeling that your prayers are not going past the ceiling, that it's a one-way street, that you're praying, but God's neither listening nor responding. These and other things keep us away from prayer, but I want to encourage you, friend. If you determine, okay, I'm going to spend quality time with God every day, whether it starts with 3 minutes or five or it's 5 hours, I'm going to start with quality time with prayer, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, and I'm going to focus on Him, and I'm going to commune with my Father through the access I have in Jesus' name. Yeah, the first thing that'll happen, it begins to change you. But I tell you that communion with God will begin to produce results. And if you continue and continue and continue and do your best to pray according to the will of God, as you persist in doing it, you'll see answers. Those answers will encourage you. Journal them. Write them down. Share them with others. May your faith grow. Be a man or woman of prayer. Let's shake this generation with the glory of God through prayer. We'll be back tomorrow.